thou dost as well. The devils also believe and tremble. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and thank you for this beautiful day that you've allowed us to be a part of. Thank you for your love, your grace, and mercy that you shine upon us. Ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we look into your word and discover maybe some new or some old, go over some old things that we might have learned a long time ago. Father, create in us a clean heart. Restore that salvation within us, your salvation, Father, that you have given us, that excitement, that zeal, that earnest desire to look into your word, to be excited, to be a part of your family, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to take you on a little voyage. It's not going to be the Princess or the Holland or the Norwegian cruise line, but on the ship of God's Word called the Bible. Your tickets have been paid for you by the crew. Their gift to you. Didn't that strike a bell? A free gift? Picture yourself walking down or up the dock towards the ship with your luggage in your hand. You cross the gangway and you board the ship. And as we prepare to sail, I have a few questions for you. And I don't want you to answer out loud or raise your hand, but I want you to think on them and repeat those questions in your mind. But at the same time, put those questions in your luggage, because they'll be called up for later on. And the crew will deliver your luggage to your cabin, because we're on board this big ship now, okay? Picture yourself on this big ship. The first question is, do you believe in God? And you say over to yourself, okay, do I believe in God? All right, that's one question that goes in the luggage. Do you know that this Bible is the Word of God? And that goes in your luggage. Do you know it has guidelines for your life inside that Bible? Put that in your luggage. Do you trust God in everything, or just in some things, or in most things? But there's a few things I'm not really sure of yet. Well, when we turned our lives over to Christ and accepted Him as our Lord and personal Savior, we turned from our wicked ways. We're supposed to have turned 180 around and turned from our wicked ways to follow Him. The crew of the ship, this big, enormous ship, is our Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And they've made a snack for us to enjoy as we prepare to sail. Our snack is found in Matthew 6:33. This is my favorite verse, Matthew 6:33. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, one thing that we're taught here at Calvary Chapel, never take a verse out of context, but look at the whole chapter or the whole book. What things are they talking about? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in Him, you know. So what are these things that will be added unto us? These things are what we wear, what we eat, and what we drink. So if God has got that into control, what else do we need? You know, He always looks after our needs. Maybe not our wants or desires, but He always looks after our needs. As we're walking around on the main deck and chewing on that snack that we just received, we watch as the line tenders take in the mooring lines, and we begin to pull away from the pier. Well, remember those questions I asked you a little while ago? Well, somebody else believed in and trusted God. And a little later, we're going to meet up with Him. As we're heading out the harbor and waving goodbye to the people on the dock, Our crew has prepared our meal. Our meal is found in 1 Corinthians. Please turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. And no, I am not going to try to read all those names. Chapters 1 through 9 covers a genealogy of Adam to Noah. And it's, of course, the family, the official family tree of the Hebrew tribes, and has over 500 names. We'd be here all night, me trying to pronounce each one of them and take my time to pronounce them. Some of them are very, very difficult to pronounce. No, first, did I say Corinthians? I meant 1 Chronicles. I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles. I guess that's why they call me the old guy here at church. Okay, there's over 500 names. And like I said, some of them are very difficult to pronounce. Okay, do you feel the ship rocking and rolling just a little bit as you look at all those names? And we make it out into the open seas, out past the harbor. Don't feel discouraged. You're not going to get seasick. This is a pretty big ship, and it will give us a good, smooth sailing. And oh, by the way, our crew has firsthand knowledge on how to calm the seas. These genealogies and the other ones in the Bible, they seem very ending, never-ending to us, and we couldn't even remember them. I can't even remember my family tree. So don't worry about trying to remember all of them. But the Bible tells us that God knows all of His people, all of His children, personally, even down to the number of hairs on our head. Some have more than others, but He knows who's got more and who's got less. Come on in. Matthew 10 is where Jesus summoned His 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. He sent them out after instructing them and encouraged them. He encouraged them because He knew that they would be hated by everybody. He also told them not to fear those who kill the body, but unable to kill the soul, but to fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. We're studying 1 Chronicles. 'Our Father knows even when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows us personally, and He calms the heavy seas of our lives. God also summoned us, and we answered His call as becoming Christians. When the Holy Spirit ministered to us, and we accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, He summoned us, we answered His call, and we as Christians fall into the same category as His disciples did to accomplish those same works. Well, getting back to our meal, we don't really know who the author of 1 Chronicles is or was, but it was believed that Ezra might have been, and it was written around 450 to 425 B.C. Now we're beyond the sight of land. We can't even see land, and we're out in the middle of the ocean. And the meat of our meal is going to be 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. First Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the Lord of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain and God granted him what he requested. In the midst of all those names of the people and the tribes comes this little prayer of Jabez. That's two little verses in the midst of all that. Okay, who was Jabez? Jabez lived in southern Israel after the conquest of Canaan and during the time of the judges. He was born into the tribe of Judah and became a notable head of a clan. His name means pain, or if you will, he causes pain. So, this guy has got such a name attached to him. We can arrive that his birth was probably a little unusual and more painful than a normal childbirth because his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in pain. It says in my Bible, I bear him with sorrow. Of course, different Bibles will say different things, you know, how it words it. But it all means the same. Our names seem very important to us, but in biblical times, a name was very important. Very, very important. Back then, a person's name mean it kind of defined their future, what they would become. Jabez definitely wasn't a Moses or a David, because this is the only place I found him. Moses means saved from the water. David means beloved. Solomon, peace. Jacob, grabber. And there's a lot of other ones that you can look up later and look up the story of each of the names, and it'd be quite interesting to see what their names mean. You know, like I know Dale, that's my middle name, but Dale means valley. And, you know, why? I don't know. Maybe because I'm stuck in this valley. So, but that's a different story. Now, it seems that Jabez defied his name because he fervently wanted a close relationship and with God, and he not only believed in God, but the power of God. He believed in the power of God because of that his little prayer. He wanted an intimate fellowship with his God, a very close one. When was the last time we stepped aside and allowed God to work his power in us and through us? You know, there's many times when we do our own thing. When was the last time we stepped aside and let God take over? During our voyage, and while our meal is digesting, there are many areas of the ship that we can explore before we head back to land. So let's head out and break up this prayer of Jabez into different sections. And it'll be different sections of the ship. This first area we come to says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Wow, what a prayer. My first thought was when I read this is, why would somebody say, "Bless me," instead of others first? Aren't we taught to pray for others? Look at everything, or put them first. Look at everything we do. Women and children first in the chow line. Women and children first into the lifeboats. We open the door for them, let them go in or out first. But Jabez's prayer started out a little different. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." He felt he needed God's presence and God's blessing before he could bless anybody else. Also in Hebrew, adding "indeed" means that it's like adding 5 exclamation marks, making it capital letters, and underlining it. So it had a special meaning, a more powerful meaning for his prayer. Paul tells the saints at Ephesus to put on the full armor of God so that we could stand against the wiles of the devil. And as Carrie Fishtrip told us on Sunday, we should follow suit too, because Satan is out there like a roaring lion seeking who he might destroy. So I believe this was kind of Jabez's full armor of God. Today it seems as though we water down the meaning of blessing someone, or even ourselves. We nonchalantly say, bless you. May God bless you. It's almost like saying, have a nice day. You know, we see people in church, we see them out on the street, we see them at stores. We talk with them and say, oh, Lord bless you. You know, it's like, have a nice day. It doesn't seem like it has the full meaning that it should, that it used to. In biblical times, asking for a blessing meant to ask for a supernatural favor. Proverbs 10:22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth, and everything we can do can add one thing to it. When we ask for God's blessing, we're asking him to immerse us into him so that we can do his will within our lives and not our own. God's blessings are only limited by ourselves. Matthew 7:7-8. Please turn there. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened to him. Think about it. What a request that is. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock. Do we really expect to receive anything? When we prayed, when we asked God for guidance, when we asked God to heal somebody, when we asked God for protection, do we really expect God to answer us, to show us his power? Or are we just saying those things because we're Christians and we're supposed to do that? The prayer of Jabez, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Our faith is stronger than that. God wants to use us, so we need to ask, we need to seek, and we need to knock. And it's not just a one-time deal, one-shot deal. It's almost every day. The next area of the ship is, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Wow. Here we are in just a little valley in the little town of El Centro. Jabez wanted more of an opportunity to make a better mark for his God in his life, to be used by his God in a mighty way. Have you ever looked in the mirror and wondered, is there more to this? Am I meant more for this? To what I'm doing for God? What am I doing for God? Really? What is my life like every day, every evening, every night, when I'm watching the boob tube, when I'm having my coffee, when I'm eating, when I'm out on the street, when I'm going to the store or something? You know, we're meant for more than what we're doing. I know that for a fact. Because he did more for us than we could ever do for him. So what are we doing for him? When we ask for God to enlarge our territory, as Christians, we're asking him to expand the opportunities to impact someone's life for his glory. I know that Kirk and his kids, his youth kids, go knocking on doors, and I know Kirk will be the first one to share the good news with somebody. He's definitely not afraid to do it. And I know Rick has gone beyond. And many people in this congregation in Calvary Chapel have gone beyond what normal people, or I would say beyond what we think that they should be doing. But they go beyond that because they are living for Jesus Christ. We all should be living for Him and look for God's, some way that we can impact someone's life for God's glory. Oh, that You would give me more intensity in the ministry I'm in, or even a ministry. You know, that could be enlarging your territory. Give me more intensity of what I'm doing. Let me be that example, that full example for You, Christ. When you expect to hear from God in such a way that will blow your mind, it's like asking for a miracle. Miracles are where you read about miracles throughout the whole Bible. Why can't miracles be happening today, right in front of us, and be able to recognize those miracles? You know, every time I drive home from here, or drive here, or drive anywhere, and I make it safely, it's a miracle. My wife will attest to that. Do you want to go beyond or rise above your circumstances, or I say beyond or above the life you're living it today? Ask God to increase your territory and stand by for a blessing, because He, all He's doing is just waiting. He's just waiting to answer that. And He will. Getting further into some other areas of the ship, we discover, oh, that Your hand would be with me. Wow. Jabez knew he needed God's divine hand to be upon him, especially after asking for his territory to be increased and knowing he could do nothing on his own. He also knew he needed God's hand and fast. When we speak those words, we ask to release God's power to accomplish His will and bring Him glory and watch the miracles happen. In the Old Testament, Joshua 4:19 through 24 reads, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the sons of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" then you shall inform them, their children, saying, "Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord had done to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And in Isaiah 59:1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that He cannot hear." The hand of the Lord is a biblical term for God's power and presence in the life of His people. In Acts 11:19 through 21, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord." In Matthew 28:16 through 20, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" If He is with us always, even to the end of the age, this means His hand is upon us. His hand is right there upon us, watching over us. When we ask for God's presence like Jabez, we'll see tremendous results that can be explained only by the hand of God. Just think of what our lives would be like if our every thought was to seek after God's will in our lives and not His. Not ours, but God's will, not ours. Just the other way around. Paul, while a prisoner, told the Christians at Ephesus to make it a priority to be filled with the fullness of God. And that's found in Ephesians 3:13-19. Can you remember the last time we got together and pleaded for the filling of the Holy Spirit? What about on Sunday nights at 5:20 when only a handful of people show up? You know, that's a good time that we can pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we can do it at any time. When was the last time we petitioned God fervently that His hand would be upon us and be filled with the Holy Spirit? Think of the miracles that could be performed by God through us. God's watching and waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to be able to receive that supernatural power He offers. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. God wants people like you and I to do His will. He's waiting for us to ask. Look at your day and ask yourself, am I totally loyal to God? Don't we all need to do that? As we proceed to the next area of the ship, we find, oh, that you would keep me from evil. Whew. By far, the most important strategy for defending the roaring lion is to stay out of his arena, not even go there. This is Jabez's petition for supernatural help to protect him from Satan's attack and ability to draw him into his snare. Just like Jabez, we need to remember this part of the prayer, especially when we experience a spiritual success. Once we feel that we've experienced a spiritual success, like bringing somebody to the Lord, laying your hands on somebody and the Lord heals them. The Lord does the work, not us. We need to realize it's Him and not ourselves. And that's why we need to be kept from evil, because when we start thinking those things, we get into thinking that it's our own works. We could be tempted by Satan or our own selves to think that, oh, I did this. Look what I did. I just brought 3 people to the Lord. Ain't that good? Pat me on the back, will everybody see me? Well, you just received your full reward. God does that. The Holy Spirit ministers to the different people around us. And in His timing, they come to the Lord. I know we all have a free will, but it's His timing. And nothing we can do, we're just a spokesperson. We're just kind of the middleman. But yet we can see the joy on somebody's face when somebody accepts the Lord or is healed of something we just prayed for him about. What a blessing. You know, we're tempted in a lot of other ways. Other words for temptations are allurement, enticement, seduction, enchantment, glamour, seducer, whet the appetite, temptation. Most of us face too many temptations. And therefore, we sin too often because we don't ask God to lead us away from temptation. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy to flee sin. We are supposed to run away from sin. Anytime our thoughts come up, you know, we're tempted. Temptation is not a sin. As if you fall into the snare of Satan and succumb to that temptation, then it becomes sin. As the ship has turned around and now it's heading back to port, we proceed to the next area of the ship. Told you it's going to be a short cruise, little voyage. That I may not cause pain. Oh boy, Jabez knew himself very well, and he causes or will cause some people pain in one way or another. We do the same every day. by our words, by our actions, even our body language. I've told that my body language is really bad, especially when somebody goes against me or gets into my territory. But I should increase my territory for God, not myself. In Paul's epistle to the Romans, he also knew himself. And you can look it up later in Romans 7, 15 through 20. And, well, maybe I ought to read it. Let's go to Romans. Romans 7, 15 through 20. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's a lot of do's and does not, do nots in there. But he's saying that he doesn't want to do it, but he does it. He wants to do what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't. And he's not supposed to do some things, and he doesn't. So why do we have that battle going on? Look at Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we do it. That lion is still roaring around. I know we have a free will, and we must turn that free will over to God. Ask God to keep us from evil, just like Jabez did. That we won't cause somebody pain. You know, I have first knowledge of causing people pain. A lot of times I insert mouth before in thinking about it and ask God to show me the right things to say. Or, like I mentioned before, in my driving. Well, that's a discussion for a different time. So we won't go into that. But you can ask Barbara about my driving if you want to. She'll tell you. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. God has no favorites. However, God does draw near to those who draw near to Him. We're living in the Spirit when we strive to receive God's highest reward. Paul understood this when he wrote, I press toward the goal for the prize in Philippians 3:14. And he looked forward to the day he could give an account for what he had done. 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. Our Father knows our gifts because He's given them to us. He also knows our hindrances and the condition we're in at every minute. He knows something we can't possibly know. Every single person who's in desperate need of receiving His touch through us. God will bring us to that person at exactly the right time and the right place and in the right circumstances. Be ready to be used by God. You know, we've reached the harbor once again. And we're into the harbor. We're out of the seas now. We're into the harbor. And we're going to explore another part of the ship. So God granted him his request. The last section of that. What a blessing is it is to have God honor such a request of Jabez. Jabez must have really been excited and full of joy when God granted his request. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened to you. This church can and will receive supernatural powers if we commit our lives to our Heavenly Father and give Him all the glory and honor He deserves. I mean, if we ask for His blessings, He's going to give them to us. He's not sitting anywhere just saying, oh, let them go ahead and ask, they're not going to get them. He wants to bless us. We're His children. Okay, the ship has reached the dock and is tied up alongside the pier. The gangway's been set in place, and it's time for us to part, taking our luggage with us. After you arrive home, I do ask that you would look at 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and maybe write that prayer of Jabez, on a 3x5 card and put it someplace where you can read it every day. Let that be your prayer. And stand by for heavy rolls, because God will bless you. Jabez wanted an intimate fellowship with his God, and we as Christians should be excited about having that same intimate fellowship and that relationship with our God and Savior every chance we have. Remember, God will take care of what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, if we seek Him first and His righteousness. I want to thank you for accompanying me on this little voyage. It's, like I said, it's a simple little prayer stuck in the middle of all those names and tribes. The prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for Jabez that showed us this little prayer, this simple little prayer that has so much power in it because you are right in the center of it. We, as Christians, Father, want to be more like you, more Christ-like than we ever have before. We want to follow after your footsteps. We want to be just like your Son, Jesus, to spread the good news. Give us the boldness, give us the words, give us the heart's desire. Father, I know sometimes we seems like we only have just a little glimmer or a little flicker of a light in our heart for you. Help it, Father, help us to have a forest fire on fire and be on fire for you. Remembering, Father, when we first discovered you and accepted you as Lord and personal Savior, what excitement, what zeal that we had, sat on the edge of our seat and listening to the Word of God. Father, give us that earnest desire to seek after your will in our lives so that we can touch others. In Jesus' name, amen.